This is Peter Hill Explains, inviting you into a science conversation, this time about the 2014 high school certificate examination in the area of quanta to quarks, a little bit of quantum mechanics, a little bit of quarks, but not very much. We ask some 17-year-olds to answer a few questions. In this, I've broken it up into groups of two, and then one question. And in the case where it's appropriate, I'll go back over the formula, but for these two questions, it's not appropriate. I'll give the questions, a bit of a talk about it, the question again, and then an answer. So this is question C of question 35, part C of 35. The question is, with reference to the properties of neutrons, describe the use of the neutron as a probe. And part D is, describe the significance of the Manhattan Project to society. So I'm going to give, off the top of my head, a basic talk about that. So a neutron is a neutral particle, about the same mass or a little bit more massive than a proton, having two downs and an up quark and a net magnetic moment. As it slows down, it has an increased de Broglie wavelength, so it can actually, neutron at walking speed is actually quite large. I suppose you could almost see it, but it does interact with light. Neutrons in general, a neutron beam is produced by several ways. There's a splatteron source that alpha particles come in and hit a light nuclei. The light nuclei, like beryllium, burst apart, producing lots of neutrons. There's another source from fission. This is when a heavy nucleus breaks apart, yielding additional neutrons. So neutrons are generally, in Western Australia, produced in nuclear reactors. Sorry, there is only one nuclear reactor in Australia, one research reactor. And the neutrons gradually lose energy as they collide with moderators. The moderator here is heavy water, at least used in Australia is heavy water. So the neutron doesn't bind with the water. If it was to hit normal water, it would bind with it, producing deuterium. And that's essentially how deuterium is made. So the neutrons, this is as a probe, rather than the neutrons, which are, say, produced to activate cobalt, for a cobalt metastable source, or make technetium, or a number of other elements used for medical purposes. This is a neutron as a probe, so in a nuclear reactor, and they're produced in a beam, and the beam is fired out. And neutrons are also used, so we'll describe how the beam is used, but just in advance, the neutrons are also used as a transmutation probe, and what actually happens is observed. Now, I suppose the important thing about a neutron is that it's very easy to detect. Either you have a neutron absorbing compound or crystal, and when the neutron goes into that, it produces a characteristic X-ray, and this is detected. So the neutron detectors can be quite powerful, quite high signal-to-noise ratio, because they can detect the actual energy of the neutron and also the actual direction of the neutron as well. Neutrons themselves will spontaneously decay, so they produce an X-ray when they decay into an electron, a neutrino, and a proton. So in terms of the beam halls, they're put through a guide pipe. So this is highly reflective nuclei. I think samarium just off the top of my head, is used as a lining of these pipes, produces a pipe, and it's dropped down, it can produce a relatively small beam of neutrons, very low flux, but very high signal-to-noise ratio. And these hit various targets. The main thing is that the wavelength, even though the neutron is thermal, the wavelength is very small because of the mass of the neutron by the de Broglie effect, and therefore it can probe conditions, or can be diffracted off conditions between molecules. So you can prepare crystals, large crystals of organic crystals, and they tend to interact with the magnetic moment, so the of the neutrons and the nuclei and electrons, they interact with the magnetic moment in there, so neutrons are magnetic, and they form a diffraction pattern. They can also be put through a neutron scattering, therefore means that they can be further monochromated, put in through a silicon crystal some of the time, and they will reflect at certain angles at certain energy, so you can actually monochromate your neutrons. Neutrons can also be used as a probe, so entry into ports, they can fire through ships, and they have a very high cross-section for fissile material, produces lots of X-rays, which can be detected. So we can detect using neutrons if someone's bringing in an atomic bomb into a ridge, so it actually penetrates quite well through metal and other things. It doesn't penetrate very well through anything with pure water. It actually goes across. That's another use of a neutron, is the ground detection of water. So neutrons are produced by a splatteron source, and there's a few radiation sources which produce neutrons. So you have an alpha particle source, and beryllium produces a large amount of neutrons, and these fall into the earth and continue falling down until they actually hit water, and then when it hits water, it gives a characteristic X-ray. Yeah, so that's a general descriptions of neutrons. There are no free neutrons. However, there are lots of thermal neutrons, and neutrons are produced. Just background of neutrons are produced, often accompanying lightning strikes, as from cosmic rays hitting the upper atmosphere. And there's just a general background of neutrons there. And now the Manhattan Project. Let's talk about that. The Manhattan Project was Hungarian person, I've forgotten what his name is. I really can't remember. I haven't prepared for this. But he put two and two together and believed that the Germans were making a bomb. I worked with Einstein, who wrote a famous letter to Roosevelt, proposing the basic structure of the Manhattan Project. And so this is my own research, not necessarily what you'll get in books, but Einstein's approach to solving physics problems was actually transferred into a nationwide approach to solving the problem to get to fissile probable bomb materials. So one length was making uranium-235, which is the fissile component, this was proven to produce a sustained chain reaction by Fermi's lab. So Fermi built a small nuclear reactor as a test, and then there were several paths to isolate U-235 or plutonium-240. Unfortunately, it also made 241, possibly a bit of 242. A very hot element, the things which would explode too quickly and produce an explosive bomb. Sorry, produce a fizzle rather than something which would be contained. So the critical idea was to get this together as a critical mass. And there was a famous munition ship which blew up in Halifax. And so Einstein referred to this ship. It was a World War One ship which just blew up and just wiped out half of Halifax in Canada. So Einstein initially proposed putting the bomb in a ship, putting the ship in the port, because he hadn't seen how it's miniaturized, but he also proposed multiple strategies at the same time, and cross-funding, cross-fertilization, which was what he did. If you read his papers, he used to go through multiple strategies and extract the truth out of multiple things. He would consider multiple things at the same time. So Einstein, basically, it was the planet's first big science project. So we've had CERN and other things like that. But it's sort of like a general, had the big science project of a large amount of money, commercial training. So there's America did have the thing of putting out heaps of different contracts and having people compete for contracts. So let's look at the path towards the bomb. They had at Hanford, in Washington, I think, Washington State, they had a large plutonium nuclear reactor, which had had concentrated up the 235 to produce sufficient energy for a sustained chain reaction, a controlled chain reaction. And that controlled chain reaction was, went in and converted, transmuted 238 into plutonium 240, and this produced a lot of plutonium. The effect, so there was, that was one path, the plutonium bomb, which at Nagasaki there was 6.4 kilograms of plutonium, and Nagasaki had a yield of 21 kiloton. And that was Fat Man, because that had a spherical 6.4 kilograms of plutonium was held away from each other, because the plutonium couldn't actually be put close to each other, it would just fall apart. And so they used to make plutonium blocks and bring them together, and it'd be a blue chink of radiation as they glowed. Significance of the plutonium blocks at Los Alamos, which is near Albuquerque. I've actually gone out and visited Los Alamos. I've seen the U.S. plutonium supplies guarded by the U.S. troops, and also visited some of the scientists' home that they built, their historic science homes, and there's still scientists still sitting in them up the hill at Los Alamos. Okay, but getting back back there, they had arranged these plutonium blocks, and there was this incident where the plutonium blocks knocked each other, and this person came in and into the blue chink of glow and righted them up, and he knew that he was going to die by doing it. So he was dying, and all the scientists knew about it as the planes were flying over for him. So you had the Fat Man, the introduction of the Fat Man, which is a big, like, you know, incredibly big, several metres across, a metre and a bit, about 2 metres across. So it had a car battery and a plutonium and beryllium urchin in the inside. It's a neutron initiator, so it would implode. And in imploding, the plutonium would be brought sufficiently close, and the nuclear fuse would release it. Now, for the generation of the manufacturing to get the timing pulses correct, so they had to develop coax cable with the BNC, Berkeley Nuclear Corporation links. So we still use those bayonet links. Sorry, I was interrupted there. No time's passed whatsoever, but it has a bit as I was interrupted in there. I'm now outside in the absolute freezing cold, podcasting away again on the Manhattan Project. The Berkeley Nuclear Corporation managed to get the timing, the coax cables that you use were today to hook up your TV and things like that. This is not the RCA cables, but these are the little bayonet. BNC is a Berkeley Nuclear Corporation. So Berkeley had the cyclotron process. This is to enrich the uranium. It's where the actual uranium was ionized and put through the cyclotron mass spectrometer, and the different masses were collected. It never actually did work. Here's a small story. In South Australia, this person came across a box full of silver bullion, and the US was buying up heaps and heaps of bullion during World War II to produce the silver to wind the magnets for the Berkeley synchrotron. The alternative was the use of uranium hexafluorite and centrifuge pumps, which is still the standard way of enriching uranium. The uranium bomb, I don't think it was tested. It was a Trinity bomb which was tested, which was the plutonium bomb. The Trinity bomb was 64 kilograms, 15 kiloton dropped on Hiroshima. So as far as the US was concerned, Nagasaki was successful. Hiroshima was a bit of a failure, a bit of a fizzer, 10 times as much material, so plutonium bombs were definitely the way to go. They're much bigger bombs, but the problem was that when they said we want to mass produce these after the war, Hanford, which had produced the plutonium, had all its infrastructure become radiation hardened. They weren't aware of radiation weakening of stuff. So this is strictly within the Manhattan Project. The Manhattan Project began in secret in World War II and finished pretty much at the end with the construction of atomic bombs. So that's the limit on it. So you can't really discuss very much after that because that's outside the Manhattan Project. So they had getting the U-235 fissionable uranium by enrichment, and there was two enrichment technologies. This is typical of Einstein's mind of producing, what's called crash development on every technique, running them in parallel and competition, which was the way the US used to give multiple contracts to multiple companies, quite generously at the start, and then they'd wean off the company which was most successful, so they just ordered it for that. It was a big fraction of the US economy. And essentially you had to bring the uranium together to get a critical mass for an uncontrolled nuclear reactor, a nuclear reaction. I was just trying to think, there was, again, something to do with the tall man. These were the longer bombs. Essentially, to build anything with plutonium, with the dynamite on both sides, and having the two slabs of material come together, it wasn't possible. It meant that the bomb was too long and didn't drop out of the plane properly. There was problems where the US didn't have a plane big enough. It nearly had to use the Lancaster bomber to drop the bombs. So let's go over a game. And I won't go over the actual formula. So I'm just trying to get out of this chair with cardiac rehab. I unfortunately still find it a bit of a struggle getting out of chairs. And let's go through what's going on here. I'll
read these two questions to you again. Well, this question again. And it's the question C, with reference to the properties of neutrons, describe the use of the neutron as a probe. So we have to reverse order answer. The neutron can be a probe of materials, organic materials, structural steels and stuff like that, when it's made into a beam from a... So we're describing the use of it now. It's made in a beam from a nuclear reactor, and the neutrons hit water or other moderators which don't interfere with it. And it's collected and put down neutron pipes through neutron mirrors, things that are reflected. And they're also monochromated through neutron monochromators to get a pure frequency, a pure wavelength of neutron going down the tube. And the properties of neutrons which allow this probe to be used are several things. One is the magnetic moment of the neutron interacts with the magnetic moment of the materials. The mass of the neutron means that at low energies it's got a low, it's got a very short wavelength, which means that it can probe very small dimension properties of stuff. It's also doesn't actually interact with the stuff, so it doesn't deposit its energy and heat up the sample significantly. Also, the neutron is unstable, so when it explodes, these are some of the properties as a probe. You only have to do one probe, okay? You don't have to do many probes, it is a probe. But we might do a bit more. It is easily detected by transmutation when it actually hits the target. So you can make neutron, very sensitive neutron detectors, and itself is easily detected by a... because it spontaneously explodes and radiates. The actual detectors can actually detect neutrons of a certain speed. Therefore, very good energy. I could do other answers to do with neutrons as a probe for fissile materials in shipping containers going to ports, or neutrons for the detection of water. So let's actually go here and actually look at the answer. 4 marks clearly describes the use of the neutron as a probe. Relates the applications to the properties of the neutron. Okay. The neutron is a nucleon with similar mass to a proton. Unlike the proton, the neutron has no charge, hence it's not affected by magnetic or electric fields. Well, okay, well, it is, it's got the magnetic, local magnetic field, and will not be deflected by the protons in the nucleus, allowing the neutrons to penetrate the dense materials. Such as aircraft engines and weld joints. Any interactions with the nucleus where the neutron is absorbed is likely to make the nucleus unstable, producing isotopes of elements which can be studied for additional properties. So that's one of the things I wanted perhaps to say. This is using a probe when it actually hits something and radiates, as inside the boats of shipping containers. The neutron has properties that are associated with quantum physics. The neutron has a de Broglie wavelength, allowing it to interact with materials at the atomic level. That's poorly think. This is best student's answer, not the best answer. And this is useful when studying the properties of semiconductors, in the production of integrated circuits. Okay. If the wavelength is comparable to the interatomic lattice spacing, then the interference pattern will result, which can be analyzed, so crystals have to be prepared. This is useful for the study of biological substances. Slow thermal neutrons produced by nuclear reactors have energy, a similar energy. Oh, okay, we won't read this, it's not a student answer, which is. So, thermal neutrons are used in controlled fission reactions. Okay. So, the next question is D. Describe the significance of the Manhattan Project to society. So, reading this in reverse, something of significance to society, the and produce, so describe the significance to society of the Manhattan Project. So you start with something which is significant to society, and then say how it's linked to the Manhattan Project. Okay. Of significance to society is the controlled nuclear reactor for peace, nuclear reactors action for peaceful use in nuclear reactors, fast breeders and various other things, all depend on the ability to use enriched uranium 235 to get up to reactor grade, and even bomb grade was developed in the Manhattan Project, this was done by in the Manhattan Project by two. Okay, well, this is not describing the significance of it, but it was done by cyclotron. Did I say synchrotron? Cyclotron. And by gas centrifuges. So the significance of nuclear energy to society, this is the important, the critical thing. This is where it tripped up heaps of science students because people didn't know how to answer an English question. Significance to society is provide cheap, energy. It made that the countries didn't have to be reliable on petrol, oil, which reduced some of the world tensions associated with oil. Significance to societies that provided a clean, low carbon emission. The significance to society, I'm describing the significance to society. The significance meant that it also generated a lot of waste. Potential nuclear accidents. People were fearful of nuclear accidents and various nuclear situations. Also significant to society from the Manhattan Project was the production of timing electronics and basic electronics like BNC cables, which were required for the timing of the bomb, the plutonium bomb, and then this is significant because it allowed the same nuclear technology, detection technology, to be developed in other as a standard basic for lab technology. This timing technology has gone in as the basis of modern excimer lasers and other things. Components which required the timing to be communicated between different species. The significance of the Manhattan Project Society has now benefited from large science projects which have run on the blueprint of the Manhattan Project. These are large government-sponsored projects which say may be similar to the development of DNA sequencing or CERN projects. These are very large projects which are managed and developed by that. Similarly, let me describe the significance. I think I may have done enough. 5 marks. Manhattan Project also produced nuclear weapons, which led to an arms race. Nuclear proliferation led to the delivery of nuclear weapons for the rockets. So it's nuclear energy, nuclear weapons are significant in shaping the society, making people fearful. But it also led to the space race, which led to the development of universal technology and observation of space from it. So let's read now the sample answer. Again, this is a best student answer. The Manhattan Project was a top secret nuclear bomb project. The two different types of nuclear bombs and nuclear fusion reactors, including Fermi reactor, were developed as part of this project. The first use of atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki clearly showed the destructive power of such a weapon and hastened the end of World War II. That's the impact of society of the Manhattan Project. Fear of this destructive power has led to an arms race between the US and the Soviet Union. After the Soviet Union had proved their nuclear capability in 1949, tensions between the two nations increased through to the 1990s. Many of the other nations developed nuclear weapons. Even after nuclear weapons reduction programs, there's still large stockpiles of weapons, which makes the possibility of nuclear attack reality for society. Yeah, the significance, you'd have to describe it. The nuclear reactor development has led to the development of nuclear power plants, which have provided carbon dioxide-free power for society, currently supplying much of Europe's energy. There has been, however, nuclear accidents in Fukushima, which have a devastating effect, death, disease, and rendering regions uninhabitable. Okay, that's their belief. Nuclear power can also produce radioactive isotopes, which has been used to benefit society in medicine, agriculture, and industry. In medicine, radiotherapy is used to target cancer, and radioactive traces can be used to test for organ function. So that's actually quite good. Describes the significance of it. A pretty woolly question there. So this is a best student's answer, and quite a technically difficult thing to actually get your 5 marks, because to clearly describe the significance of the Manhattan Project to society shows a thorough understanding of nuclear reactors and positive and negative aspects of nuclear physics. Whereas a 4 shows a good understanding of nuclear physics. That's a bit of a rich one. Provides some degree of reflection on the significance of the project in relation to the positive and or negative aspect of nuclear physics. I included some things which were... I don't think that's necessarily... Just checking what the question is again. It says, describe the significance of the Manhattan Project to society. It doesn't necessarily say that you've got to talk about too much about nuclear physics, but it's just by chance that you would, in a long answer, hit what they actually mean. So I don't know how you would actually mean that. Describe the significance of the Manhattan Project to society. You inevitably have to mention nuclear physics, but surely if they really want that as a top grade answer, they'd have to actually describe the significance of the nuclear physics developed in the Manhattan Project to society. That would be a clearer way of putting it. But there you have it. That's the questions. I think the questioning has improved since 2014. Thank you very much for listening.